Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Cut that bit out later, Sam, to the sweet sounds of Kevin Bloody Wilson. It's hot day with Swanee and friends. It's the 27th of October. We in Victoria are free.
Well, sort of. Almost.
Samantha Richards and Dane Swan. Hello.
Hey, how you going?
Dane, you wait. It's like you wait every time for the theme song to start and then, like, clear your throat during it.
Did you? I don't know what. Maybe it's a nervous tick or something like that. I don't mean it.
Maybe.
It's the weekend coming at me.
Do we make you nervous?
Well, here's the thing. Are you piss fit now?
I'm slowly getting there, Mum. We've waited 6 months for everything to open up. I'm kind of wishing I'd just fucking held off another week. I don't need another excuse to get back out in the piss. But
how'd you cope with the long weekend?
Like a long weekend. I didn't know what you were talking about there for a second. But, there was a public holiday Friday, wasn't there?
Yeah, it was.
Well, that's a starting point, didn't it?
Yeah, I had a fairly solid Saturday, Sunday, yeah. I managed to call, Jono texted me yesterday and asked me if I wanted to do the 10. I don't know how I got up, but I got up and did that, like in late, like 3 o'clock in the hour. That made me feel a lot better, actually. I went out and faced the world and confronted my demons and went out there and did it. And I felt a bit better. And so I woke up okay today, which was good, but I don't know about you two, but it was obviously a pretty good weekend.
I saw you did some stuff for the spring racing carnival and your lovely outfit there, Dane. Your business up top, and party down below. That was quite a insightful video.
That's what it's about, absolutely. This time, you know how you get these like photo memories and stuff like that to pop up in your phone? They need to be erased, quick, smart, all these photos that keep coming up of like me overseas, and it just gets depressing that I can't be overseas. So that popped up and I was like, well, I'd probably be in Vegas or LA or whatever, somewhere in the world right now. So I'll bring a little bit of Vegas to me. So I pissed down right around and I had board shorts and thongs on. So it was great.
you're not gonna just leave it there, are you, Sam, though, are you?
Well, I'll let you pick it up.
Just what?
Well, you were just in board shorts at the top, but you were hashtag here for the horses.
I was, absolutely. What are you laughing at? I love the horses.
Dane, I know you previously said, quote unquote, that your worst trait is that you can't stop giving, but you were really, really giving there, weren't you?
Mate, well, that's what I do. I'm a giver. The horses needed some love, so I was there for them.
Have I said that hashtag in an ad somewhere before?
Fuck if I know. Oh, well, probably. Have you?
Very unsure.
I think I'm on it. But no, that's good. But
you actually were here there for the horses. You actually went and watched the Cox Plate.
I did.
Yeah, but
I
can
did.
We talk about that? Sure. Let's unpack that for a second, Dane.
How do you know who won?
Exactly.
Well, here's the great thing. You can watch it on your phone now. So you
watched it on your – but you were recording yourself on your phone.
I watched it on the phone all about the mile mark. I know where every part of the track is. I needed to cover the horses, so I stopped it, did that 15 seconds of shit, and then watched the rest of it on the phone again.
Okay.
Last 800.
Oh, God. Isn't the point of – you go.
Did you ride all the way – did you ride or did you drive?
Right. Yeah.
Did you cycle all the way to Just That or just sit there all day like a nuppy and just watch, watch them all?
Yeah, have me a little blankie, took a thermos.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, absolutely.
Put the hot dogs in it, yeah. No, I rode there, hour and a half ride, and hour and a half back.
Ralph, why don't you just live in the moment and, like, enjoy the race? Like, you took the effort to ride all the way there, and then you, like a true millennial, you watched it on your phone in selfie mode.
Well, you couldn't watch it any closer.
But you could have turned around and been in the moment, you know?
What's that?
You could have turned around and been in the moment.
You could have been on one of those horses if you had stayed in shape, Ralph.
Well, I quote the great Dr. Turf, who once said of someone, and I won't say who because he ended up getting sued for it, but he said the person was too tall to be a jockey and too small to be a human. That's probably where I am in the middle of all that. So what happens now? You're free. Sam, are you free?
I'm not free. At the moment, I'm currently isolating. I'm not even allowed at my house for exercise for the next 2 days.
Why is that?
Because I've got my surgery on Thursday morning, so you have to have a COVID test 4 days prior to any operation. And even though I got my results back as negative this morning, I still have to isolate until the morning of my surgery in case I go out and come into contact with any derelicts with germs, you know?
What about your housemate? What do they do?
Well, he's in a separate part of the house to me, so I guess they just assume that we're not coming into contact, which he's my housemate, not my lover, so we're keeping fairly separate.
Do you not eat dinner together?
No, not really. Not all the time, nah. Yesterday, I didn't know what to do with myself, so yesterday I slept all day, and today I Netflixed all day, and he worked, so.
Now, I've never really lived with other people apart from my partner, so we eat obviously together, but the people that live with our housemates just like ships in the night and just eat dinner on their own and like have two separate meals now. Don't you just fucking collaborate and go, like, oh, I'll cook dinner tonight and then I'll get dinner tomorrow night and sit down together?
Sometimes, but I'm doing HelloFresh at the moment. Well, I wanted to do HelloFresh so that I could cook enough meals so that I could freeze them so that I don't have to cook once my wrist has been operated on. But every now and then he will. He loves to cook a pizza, my housemate. So he's like, should I cook pizzas? Mm. He's British. He's lovely, very lovely. So he does offer a fair bit, but if I don't feel like what he's eating or if I don't feel like eating at the same time as him, then we'll just do our own things. But sometimes we do.
Do you have set rules in the house? Like, all right, you can't do this, you can't do that? Or because obviously I get, and I'm sure you're the same, Ralph, we get told there's fucking heaps of rules that we have to abide by. Man, this is how fucking my life's become. I have to shave outside in the cold over the bin because the hair clogs up the drain.
Well,
so I have to go out at night. I don't shave much. I shave like a razor. I'm not clipper it like, you know, once a month or like 6 weeks. But I have to go outside, open the bin and shave over the bin without a mirror and just fucking just wing it.
Hope for the best. What?
You can't have running water?
Because apparently it's clogged up the drain.
What about her leg hairs when she shaves her legs?
Oh, my fuck. Hey, listen. Don't have to argue. I completely agree. I think it's ludicrous. It's ludicrous. Right, and then there's like a secret bloody, you have to play Tetris every time you put in a fucking pot away.
There's an order to the pup cupboard at my house, one that my housemate doesn't seem to have picked up.
Exactly, but as long as the door closes, it's fine. It's like my pot and pan drawer is a fucking babushka doll. Like one goes in the other and one goes in the other. It's weird. So as long as the door's closed, it's fine. And it's not up high. It's like on the ground level. So like it's not like it's going to fall out and hit you in the head. And the fridge has a fucking order.
Have you got the same? Sorry, Dane. Have you got the same policy when it comes to closed drawers? As long as you can shut the closed drawer, it's fine.
Yeah. I don't. She hasn't messed with mine, and I don't mess with her part of the robes. So, but yeah, absolutely.
Well, there's no because he's. I had to remind myself the other day he's not my boyfriend, so I can't tell him off. But he's been here a couple of months now, and in the beginning, I was like. Just, like, pick up after yourself. It's not fucking hard. Just, like, clean up. And I tried to, like, leave hints. Like, I would just always be cleaning around him, like, hi, hi, just cleaning the bench, cleaning everywhere, hoping you get the hint. And the other day,
Men don't get hints. Men, we don't get hints.
Well, I thought the other day that he did. I came out and I tell you what, it was like Christmas morning. I looked around, I put my hands on my hips and I was like, oh, how good is this? He's cleaned up. He's got the hint. What a fucking legend. I'm stoked. But if you walk out there now, it's a fucking shambozzle. And he just thinks it's hilarious. So you're right. I don't think he did get the hint, Ralph. I think he just happened to do it one time and it's gone over his head again.
Yeah. Mate, there's more rules in here than fucking Pentridge. That's for sure. no, it's crazy. And this is a random thing. I actually thought about it before when we were getting dinner. We have this one random fork that no one uses, but it's been in the utensil drawer for about 5 years. And we're just either too lazy to throw it out or too sentimental, but it's a shit fork that no one likes. It's a different weight and it's weird and it looks weird. I don't know. Does anyone else have that problem? Like, there's just one utensil in the whole drawer that we just both refuse to use. I don't know, and it just fucking stays there. Even like when it's to the point when if there's no other forks in the thing, I'll go to the dishwasher and dry and wash one.
Wow.
I tried.
Well, is there any rules that you have that Taylor has to abide by?
Good question.
I think
whether she abides by them or not is part and parcel. But is there any that you've got in place?
It's not a heap off the top of my head.
I know one.
Sometimes when some like head hair comes out the shower or slaps it on the shower. Window, I'll shower glass, that annoys me.
Oh,
does
it?
But
what about with Netflix? Like, you would demand to skip through intros, wouldn't you?
Yeah, no, Taylor's not the intros either, all the recaps. But I hate recaps and what's going to, unless I haven't watched a show for a while, or I don't like the point, when a show's coming on, I don't like why it's going to tell me what's going to happen in the show, because I like to be surprised about what's going to happen in the show.
Yes.
I have no interest in knowing that there's going to be a murder or there's going to be fucking whatever the twist or whatever's the big plot thing that's going to happen. I don't want to know because I want to be surprised. I'm watching the show regardless. Mm.
So what happens in a movie theater when they play promos and trailers?
Yeah, but that's the show. If I'm watching a series or I'm watching, I don't need to know what's coming up. So I'll turn the end of the program off. I'll turn the end of the episode off before it goes to what happens next episode because I'm already into it. So I don't need to know. But Taylor's certainly not allowed to touch the remote.
And so
we got there. There's a rule.
And so what about if you're watching, regardless of whether she's talking about the series that you're watching, is she allowed to talk to you at all? Because I'm struggling with this at the moment. Like I'll be clearly invested in a scene and I'll be staring at it. And then he'll just start talking to me. How was your day then? No, I'll be like,
nah.
I'll forcibly pick up the remote, press pause and go, sorry. And I'll have the chat. Then I'll press play again. And then, oh, yeah, so you didn't go to work then? And I'll pick up the remote and I'll press pause and I'll turn around with a smiling face and go, no, still in isolation.
No.
Press play and then keeps chatting, just having a yarn.
No, so that certainly doesn't happen. And you can tell, like, if I drift off or look at me, glance at my phone, I'll get eyes. But then, if I go, oh, what happened there? That's where she'll crash shit. If I wasn't paying attention, I have to ask what happened.
Oh, no.
But the volume is probably a big thing in our house.
Okay.
I like it up loud. Taylor likes it at a fucking, you know, like a mouse can fucking hear it. So, she likes it on about, obviously every TV's different with like the numbers of the volume. So we're about 15 apart on the numbers. So, that's always a disaster. And I like the TV bright so I can actually see what's going on. Mm. She wants it down. Mm. Like she wants the brightness in that down. Mm. And that does me.
And does she change the settings and when you come back to it, you're like, the fuck, I didn't leave it like this?
Especially if I've gone out.
Mm. And see, I was thinking about you the other night in bed, actually, Dane. Nothing sinister, obviously, but I was in bed and I had my TV on quite dull. And it's a new TV and therefore a new remote. And I had to keep turning on my fucking bedside table lamp to find to find the controls to turn the volume up and down and change scenes. Oh, it's a fucking disaster. And I was like, Dane is a wise man.
It's a tough week in my household, but I've just about got there. I've just about got there with the new Foxtel and the new TV remotes.
I just need to back over that, Swanee. So when you said about you like it louder than Taylor with it, when it comes to TV volume, is that the reverse when it comes to heater?
Because
women generally like it about 20 degrees higher than blokes.
Yeah, we need it hot.
We sleep with the aircon on. We sleep with the aircon on in the bedroom every night. Like rain, hail, or shine. Every day of the year, the aircon's on. I'm generally a cooler temperature than her. Yeah.
Cool. Sam, what's your experience there, please?
Yeah, I run a lot. I like to be warm and keep it a lot hotter. Like the other night, Stephen stayed over, and as soon as it's like it's my bedroom, but as soon as he got in there, the bedroom door's open. I'm like, what's going on here? It's like, it's fucking hot in here. I'm like, it's my bedroom. I'm about to turn the electric blanket on too, actually. And I said, well, when you get out in the middle of the night, you can shut the door. He's like, oh, nah, you're closer. The fuck's that about? I don't understand.
Just before we get to the, I think there was a grand final or two on that we should talk about. I just want to do a little bit of a warm-up if we can.
Okay.
Because I just found this article that amused.
Yeah.
You're right, Dan. So,
this is from the Sun in the UK. Teledrama quiz, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, have had some laughs for many wrong reasons. Sarah Arnold picks the funniest. Would you have got them all right? So these are the worst answers that have ever been given on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Okay. Are you going to give us the questions?
I'm giving you the questions. You take turns.
Okay.
Are we guessing which one they said? Or we
just get it right. I'll just tell you if they got it wrong.
We'll get it right.
So just get it wrong. We'll rapid fire because it's so easy you can't get them wrong.
Okay.
Own you first.
All right.
I pity the fool is a catchphrase of which famous American? Tom Cruise, Jerry Seinfeld, Mr. T, George Washington.
Am I Mr. T?
Yeah.
Sam, I don't think knew that.
Yeah, Sam, it's your turn. So, in the nursery rhyme, what did little Jack Horner pull from a pie? Ribbon, plum, blackbird, or little Jill Horner?
Ah. Plum?
Yes.
Thank you.
Well done. Someone said black.
I thought it was going to be like American pie style. Then you got to pull something else out.
I thought it was thumb for a second. I did think it was thumb, but plum sounds about right. Yep, next.
Dane, what is a pecan? A root vegetable, a nut, a cut of beef, or a tropical bird?
I know this one.
What is a pecan?
Yes, P-E-C-A-N.
It's a nut, is it?
A pecan.
Yes, someone said bird.
Well, could have been a toucan's brother.
Toucan and pecan.
Sam, same family.
Which of these phrases is a way of saying, I can't take it anymore? That's the last stick. That's the last leaf. That's the last straw. I'm moving to France.
I'd like to meet France, but I believe it's C, if that's the last straw.
Yes. Someone said that's the last stick. Which punctuation mark, Dane, is commonly used to introduce a list of items? Colon, apostrophe, full stop, exclamation mark.
Colon.
Well done.
Correct. We're flying here. It's good. Sam, snapping selfies in kitchens you can't afford and taking a meatball break are two things BuzzFeed says every 20-something does on their first trip to where? A, Paris, B, London, C, Rome, D, IKEA.
IKEA.
Yes.
Great.
Dane, which word specifically links a type of mammal with an archbishop or high-ranking bishop? Carnivore, rodent, primate, marsupial.
A what? A carnivore?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which word specifically links the type of mammal with an archbishop or a high-ranking bishop?
Yeah.
Carnivore, rodent, primate, marsupial.
What the fuck is primate? I don't know. What was it?
Yeah, you got it. I'm proud of you.
Well done, Dane. Wow. I can't wait to see what our prizes are, by the way.
Did you know, Sam?
No, I had no fucking clue, so well done.
Yeah.
You're doing a good barrier, Sam. Homeowners buy surge protectors to protect their possessions from unexpected surges of what? Electric current, water flow, air pressure, buyer's remorse.
Say the question again. I think I know the answer, but can I have the question again? Thanks, Eddie.
Homeowners buy surge protectors to protect their possessions from unexpected surges of what?
Electricity.
Yes.
Right. What did they say?
I'll tell you what, the questions are getting harder.
Someone said water.
Just quietly, the questions are getting harder. The last two have ramped up.
Dane,
which of the following is a famous French cooking school? A, Moulin Rouge, B, Eiffel Tower, C, Le Cordon Bleu, D, Chicken a la King.
Come on. I think the Eiffel Tower is an Urban Dictionary term, but we don't need to go there. Le Cordon Bleu.
Yes. Sam, when attacked by predators, which animal activates a gland known as an ink sac? Cheetah, squid, owl, or Paris Hilton?
Now, there could be two answers.
There could be two, but I'm going to lock in B, squid.
B, correct. Someone said it was an owl. Imagine losing your chance to win $1 million that way. Dane, deep enough that the ball doesn't generally go in, hit the bottom and bounce out. What is the minimum depth of a regulation golf hole? 4 inches, 4 feet, 4 miles, 4 light years.
Balls deep.
Well, I don't play golf, so I'm not sure. But, yeah, the smallest one, which is like 4 inches, was it? Is that what you said?
Yes.
What did someone say?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Someone said, do 4 feet deep hole. Might be hard to reach.
I think that's while doing the Eiffel Tower.
All right. Last one, Sam.
I got this.
Here we go. Autosomal dominant compelling helio optimal outburst syndrome, whose initials offer a clue, is the need to do what on seeing the sun? Cough, yawn, sneeze, hiccup.
Can you say the description one more time, please?
Autosomal, S-O-M-A-L, dominant, compelling helio optimalistic outburst syndrome.
I tell you what, you wouldn't get a job as you're not getting a job as fucking
Eddie McGuire.
Is Eddie? Yeah.
Whose initials offer a clue is the need to do what on seeing the sun? So you see the sun and you either cough, yawn, sneeze, or hiccup.
Is it sneeze?
Yes.
Oh, 10 well points done. To Gryffindor.
You're smart here.
What did someone say?
Someone said yawn. There we go. Very good.
And hey, what do we win for that? Nothing's for nothing, Ralph. We participated in your quiz.
While you're talking about stupid questions, well, why it's not stupid, it made me laugh. Have you ever seen the chase where the UK chase with the question in what sport does Fanny Schmeller compete for Germany? Mate, that is an all time clip.
Yes, I
have. Do yourself a favour if anyone's listening. Google Fanny Schmeller the chase. Mate, it's an absolute pisser. He's in tears trying to repeat the question. Like, in what sport does Fanny Schmeller compete? Mate, he goes, it's fucking hilarious.
I think it's SCH.
Well, I just typed in Fanny Schmeller, the chase, and it come up. So it's a fucking piss out. It's a good 3 minute chuckle, I found. But yeah.
So, Sunday morning, They go to Lee Matthews. What do you think of Dusty Martin? They go to Wayne Carey. What do you think of Dusty Martin? They go to KB. They go to Malcolm Blight. They go to Luke Hodge. All these greats who have been well qualified.
I'm glad they did them.
10:16 on Twitter. Yeah, you know, everyone looks for a quote. What's wrong with this quote? Why wasn't it picked up? Dane Swan, 10:16. Cunt's the best ever, and that's it.
Yeah, no. Saturday got away from us.
And by us, you mean you and Taylor, just the two of you.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Barney. Yeah, and Barney, of course. Oh, well, like, I think I – you're right there, mate. I'm still shocked that I don't have a gig while commentating. I'm telling you. If I don't get picked up next year, I don't know what's wrong with them.
Oh, no.
But so the game was good. It was a nice little fill-up for everyone. But, yeah, 450 wasn't short enough, was it, for the Norm Smith, Richmond and the Norm Smith into the Storm. But
oh, sorry, I thought you were referring to Dusty's Norm Smith odds.
Yeah, it was.
Right. That was a treble, was it?
Yeah.
Lovely.
Oh, and he had a couple more, and some US out. It was a good weekend, actually, on the Rex Hunt. But, yeah, it was obviously a good game. I still will die on the hill where I feel it's not as good as winning it on the MCG in front of 100,000 like Geelong and Richmond would have got.
No.
But yeah, like, I'm sure the players have cared just as much, and like they have, you know, they'll say it's their best one because of recency bias, and they may look back and think it is, but I think for the rest of the public not being able to enjoy it with their friends and family, there's a damper on it, whether you like it or not. But yeah, like, how do you not with Dustin think? And I also said that he sits at the same table with Jordan and stuff like that. Yeah. Now, I certainly didn't mean as in international stardom and like fan base, because you'd be a fucking, I know I'm a moron, but you'd be an absolute moron to think that Dustin Martin or anyone in Australian sport is in the same breath as a Michael Jordan or a Tom Brady or something. But
did Jordan measure of that after saying it?
I wasn't, man. I didn't spend a lot of time on Twitter because we were watching the footy and there was some carry on going on. So we sat down and watched it. So I didn't check your replies, but yeah, like I in basketball, you can be Jordan and clutch. There's 10 people on a court and you get given the ball out. Like quarterbacks, like Tom Brady clutch 6 with balls. You know, he hasn't got 6 MVPs though. Well, finals, you know, 6 Super Bowl MVPs. Jordan, 6, has got 6 and finals MVPs. Kobe has got 4 or something like that. But all those other sports, you get given the ball. So, like, NBA, they score, you go down, you get the ball, and you get the chance. You know, quarterback gets the ball on offense. Rugby, you get given the ball after 6 goes. I don't know, whatever. Swimming, like Michael Phelps and that. You get to swim on your own. I think our sport is easily the hardest in the world to be the best on the ground at, and especially in 10 of the 9 of the 11 finals he's played, and he's been best on the ground. So, like, he clearly sits comfortably, and our sport's Australian only, which makes whoever's the best player in Australia the best in the world. So, how can you not say he's one of the most clutch sports ever in the world, because our game is clearly the hardest game to be best on the ground at, and especially in the biggest game, because you can't get it unless you go and get it. It's not like Richmond score unless they kick a point, but it goes back to the middle and you've got to do it all again. So, and yes, clearly we're not on the same level internationally as all the international sports, but the fact of the matter is he's the best in the world at this sport, and he's the most clutch, biggest big game performer. So he does absolutely sit comfortably with all the greats around the world. It just happens that we just happen to play the sports in Australia. So, yeah, I think he does. Saves his best for when they need it. Not like he doesn't try during the year, but sometimes I think they just take, you know, a game or two off or just float up forward and just when you're not needed. And now I guess that's also the strength of Richmond. They don't need him to be best on the ground every week, so he's not fucking knackered by the time finals come around. They've got such an even side. They rest, but you know, play more up forward 1 week or go, you know, so they change their roles. And then when it's time to step up, obviously he does. It's a good game. Like we said, I thought Richmond were going to win from the start.
It was brutal early, though, wasn't it, 20?
Yeah.
Unbelievable start.
I thought that Geelong came out, played really well, but what you were just describing of Dusty is, I think, the reason that Richmond won, in a sense, not like he didn't carry it on his own back, but that goal in late in the second quarter really turned the mindset of the rest of the Richmond Footy Club around. They seemed a bit dazed when they first came out and they weren't playing Richmond footy, and then he snaps that goal and it's like there was just a fire in his eyes and it just infected every other member of his team and they fucking lifted from there and Geelong didn't have an answer for it.
Yeah, well, it appears that no one's ever had an answer for does during the finals, during any final series. So until someone figures that out, if they get back into the finals again, he seems to just keep carrying them over the line. I thought the game, I didn't really see much of the pre-match, but it was, I'll tell you one thing the game did do, it fucking dried up pretty quickly. I had to make up, they were sending me vision of like just like tropical monsoonal rain, and then by the time we flipped the footy on, man, it was like it was hadn't rained all day. So you give the ground and the ground staff credit for that. That was pretty awesome. But I didn't see the halftime. I've seen the halftime actually. I thought they were pretty good. I knew that one song they sang. I can't remember what it was, but I remember it. I know I knew it. So I thought all in all it wasn't a bad thing. It wasn't a bad grand final, considering all the shit that's going on this year. Thought we got a decent game. Mm. You know, it probably didn't look like Richmond were home till probably what, halfway through the last. You think we probably knew they were going to be home.
Yeah.
Well, momentum wise, because they were trailing at half time, once they got even, you thought momentum was going to keep them going, and that's in
the end. Yeah, but at least it wasn't a blowout lot.
No.
The last one. What are your thoughts on the night, Granny? Are you pro, or what about Cox? Be happy with the Cox played into the granny, or should they both have their own separate days?
I've got to answer it two ways. And one is that the actual numbers say that they can never be another day grand final. I prefer a day grand final, but only because I grew up in Melbourne and that's what I've done every year, you know, focus my attention on a Melbourne grand final and love it at the MCG. But the numbers that came through of how many people in the northern states, probably similar to what how many people in Melbourne watch the Storm on a Sunday night in prime time compared to was during the day. There was a lot more. So when you got the Sydney market and the Brisbane market tuning in on such numbers, I just don't think they can go back for that reason. Whatever everyone else, you know, I mean, I'm the only one of the three of us who've got kids, but who cares what kids can do at 8 years old, whether they have to go to bed early, if it means you can get another million and a half people watching the game in total around the country. It's just, it's going to be a no-brainer from a business decision. So,
I agree.
Do you think they would have had those numbers, though, if more numbers could have been at the game? Because generally speaking, you've got 100,000 people at the G, then all the pubs and venues around Australia are filled, so it's not, you're not seeing those numbers on home television sets, if that makes sense. So do you think that
what you're saying, though, is the Melbourne argument? The difference is what's clearly shown, and these are the actual facts as opposed to how we're feeling here, is that the actual facts are Sydney, New South Wales and Queensland/Brisbane numbers are just through the roof, and it's only because it's prime time and all the advertisers want to get those prime time viewers. So absolutely, Sam, you know, there'll be people in Melbourne either wanting to go to the game or wanting their kids to go or wanting to have a barbecue. And as I said, I grew up with that culture. I love it. But also, I went to a suburban footy grounds when it was a VFL. I mean, things have to evolve.
Yeah.
And I love having cans at Moorabbin watching the Saints, but it ain't happening anymore.
Yeah, I'm for a night, Granny. I'd be wrapped if the VFL played a curtain raiser and then a tack cup. Three games like the NRL did. If you wanted to do it, obviously the Cox played that around, but I would imagine we're going to go back to September finals at some stage. But I don't know how much that'll chop up the ground, but have it televised, you know, during the day, have the TAC Cup at Etihad and then the VFL granny at Etihad and then flick it on the tally. But I don't know how that will work with broadcast, but have a full day of all the games and then have the granny at night. And it's also good for, you know, for us ex-footballers that are out there trying to make a wage there. Yeah, exactly.
Talk to the people. You can talk to more people. Breakfast and lunch.
Exactly. And you don't start on the piss as early as when it's game day. Well, Granny, you're on at 10. And the thing I found is you don't go to bed any earlier because the game's not on at night. So you still carry on all through the night till the same time you would end, you know, whether you usually go to bed at midnight or you go to bed at fucking Sunday night, but and anywhere in between, you still drink just as much. So starting later is probably better for your health that way anyway.
So you're going down the health route there, I see. See, I was before it happened, Ralph, I was like, this is going to be fucking awesome because I've been to an NRL grand final, which is always at nighttime, and they are spectacular with the fireworks and the pregame and the halftime show and, you know, the entertainment. It's so good at nighttime. And I thought that with the AFL grand final moving to the night, I was like, oh, fuck yeah, AFL watchers are going to love this. But then myself, I think, Swanee, I understand what you're saying. I kind of felt a little bit underwhelmed when it finished. I was like, oh. It's like 10:30. Normally I'd be charged and the sun would still be up and I'd be like, fuck yeah, where are we going for kick-ons? Like I feel excited. Because we're allowed to. Yeah, but because we'd had a roast dinner and we're at home, it was like, oh, like we, despite the fact the cats, like it was a divided household, but I just felt a little bit like because we couldn't kick on anywhere, the excitement of the night grand final kind of fell a bit flat for me and we were like, oh, what now kind of thing. So I think that if there was a night grand final and we were able to celebrate afterwards, I think I would be more for it. I was just a little underwhelmed this time.
Yeah, but that's obviously Melbourne, so there's nothing you can do about it. If it had finished at 5 o'clock, you would have been, well, I'm going, well, what else could you have done from 5 o'clock? You would have been real bored. At least you would have went to bed at 10:30. But I don't think we're really going to understand until we do get a night grand final in Melbourne. Mm-hmm. And then I think people can have their opinion because this year's just been an outlier.
Yeah.
Like it's just completely different all round. So until we get a night grand here with the buzz and see how much electricity is out during the day and there'll be functions all day and, you know, people on the piss in the city, but it'll boost the economy, like going out for lunch during the day, like people go mad and then obviously have the granny that night and then obviously you can carry on late into the night if you want. So I've always...
So if just a pure hypothetical here, if you were a pub owner and a former champion who got to talk to a lot of people at functions, it'd probably be a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it'd be a great thing, hypothetically speaking.
Now, I know that it's a day grand final because of tradition. It's always been like that. But why has it always been like that? Who made the decision early on for it to be played during the day and not at night originally? Do we know? Is there a reason?
Yeah.
I would hazard a guess that there was probably no lights around the ground at some stage when they first started.
Right.
I don't know, but I'd imagine before – was footy played before electricity was invented?
Well, no, there actually was. There was a night game before the VFL started.
Okay. In 80s. Oh, there you go.
But I went to the first, which is probably the year you were born, was it, 84, 85, when it was the first Friday night game. It was Collingwood North and the BT kick six. It was huge. But that was that, and that changed footy forever once it became Friday night. And just to back over at 20, as someone who has been out there, I know you've touched on it previously on the podcast, but put it in a bow. As a player in a big game, a night game versus a day game?
I prefer night. I reckon if you're a nervous Nelly and you just stewed on things, you'd want to play in the day because you just want to get up, bang, have your feed, breakfast, get to the ground and get the game done. I wasn't like that, so I love night. That's where Friday night, everyone wants to play Friday night footy because it's where the most eyes are. It's the biggest game of the week. Yeah. So the night games are always the big ones. Like you look during the year, Thursday night, Carlton, Richmond, they play the first game. Anzac Day is different. It's during the day, but Dreamtime at the G, or someone's ringing me. I'm on my phone. Dreamtime. I'm sure there's others.
Even the Anzac Day, what Richmond have done with Anzac Day on the night.
Exactly. The prelims are at night, I'm pretty sure.
Yep.
Mate, that's where it's going. And people hate change. Like, people piss and moan about it. Mate, in 5 years, people will forget there was a day grand final. And it'll be the new norm. But like, like everything, like us complaining about COVID and stuff like that, like in 2 weeks we'll forget that we've been locked down for 6 months and we hate Dan Andrews. Like it's just
absolutely
it's just what happened. So, you know, people are scared of change, but And, you know, that's fair enough. But, mate, in 5 years, we've had five knockout finals. People will go, what the fuck were we thinking having day grannies? Like, yeah. And so that's my opinion. So it was, but yeah, I obviously would have been nicer to be at a pub and have a bit of fun. But I thought, you know, Queensland obviously deserve a huge amount of applause for saving the season. I still, like I said, I still don't believe the season counts as much as any of the others. But I'm sure the Richmond players will tell you different. I'm sure the Geelong players will probably tell you that it didn't. You know, shame to see what happened to Gaz. Hurt himself in the first minute.
Oh,
Bloston, obviously. Hauled his calf, so it was carnage in the first 5 minutes. But I think that set the tone. It was good. I think people sort of were glued to their when Dangerfield laid out Bloston and then, you know, Adler did his shoulder. People were like, on
was that fair, was that fair, Dangerfield? To me, as no one who played, that seemed to me a fair thing to do. You put your bumper bars up, don't you?
Yeah, I thought he'd get suspended the way the footy is these days. I thought he'd elbow and then he sort of lifted it again, now whether it's protecting himself or not. But the way footy is these days, if you hurt someone, like, you get in trouble. Like, right. That's just the way the game is these days. Like, so I thought he was going to go for it. Well, had some spirited debate about that, but he didn't. Maybe losing the granny was punishment enough. But if that had been Toby Green, what do you reckon would have happened?
6 months.
Yeah, exactly. So I think he's just, you know, because he's Paddy Dangerfield, he probably gets away with something like that. And Toby Green, I reckon he definitely cops a week, or he cops a lot more grief in the. He might not get a week, but he gets hammered during it. And I haven't seen any press over. I've only just come good, so I haven't watched any press or any of the footy shows. But I'm
getting
grief. I bet you Paddy's not getting any grief like Toby Green would have, or something, if he had have lifted the elbow. But yeah, all in all, I think it was a pretty good game. You know, nice way to cap it off. Richmond have just been obviously clearly the best side of the last. You know, up there with Hawthorn and Brisbane of the modern era.
I know you'll say whatever you want, and Sam, you've met him, you know him too. I don't know him at all, but I listened to Brett Delidio on Sunday on ABC, and he said about Dusty, and he said, and a friend of mine, so he wanted to make a point that he wasn't just an ex-teammate, but a friend, saying that he used to see him do all this at training, and now he's doing it in a match, and he's just developed to that stage, but he doesn't let things get him flustered, outside noise. Analogy. I want an analogy. Tell me, when I said that Kathy Freeman documentary earlier this year, she seemed to do it so simply. She described that, I just got to run faster and I don't want to worry about any other noise. And that's how she put up with the treatment of Australia on it. And to me, as an outsider, it looks like Dusty Martin doesn't worry about anything. They're just playing footy and doing what he's meant to do.
No, he's pretty relaxed. Well, believe it or not, football, I know coaches overcomplicate the game, but football is a pretty simple game.
Yeah.
You run around, you got to kick it through the big sticks, and that's what he does pretty well. And I think Richmond allow him to play. You know, we don't speak a lot of football, you know, especially X's and O's and stuff, but you know, from what I gather, and this is kudos to Hardwick, he's always coached their strengths and not their weaknesses, where a lot of coaches can make you do this, but you've got to start chasing. You've got to start doing this. You've got to start fucking covering the fat side wing. You've got to start squeezing up one of their six forward. You've got to start doing all this stuff and not coach what they're good at.
Yep.
Where I think in that side, if you're good at getting the ball and kicking goals, that's what you do. You have 21 other teammates to help, or not 21, but they're called role players who do the shit grunt work so the stars can be stars.
Yes.
And I think that is an amazing quality in a coach and a playing group to allow, righto, Dustin, you know, Hawley's going to run up half back, you know, whoever it is, Presty's going to run, Lynch will do this, Jack's going to stay forward, Cochin, all the big stars are allowed to be stars where they don't have to worry about, and I'm sure they do, like, you know, Cochin obviously does a lot of the groundwork too, but, you know, there's not a lot of, well, the stars don't do a lot of, like I said, defensive pressure, or whatever it is. So I think, you know, Dim has coached it brilliantly to, you know, let the good players do what they do and not get too many mixed messages in their head and have to fucking worry about what the role players are good at. And that's why the role players are there, to do the shit that the stars don't have to do. So, and it's been proven to work. They, from what I hear, they love being down there. They have an amazing culture. Clearly, they love Dima. So, you know, what else can you say? They're clearly the, you know, they've won three of the last four. I'm not sure you can see them slowing down anytime soon because I don't know the age of their group, but Rewalt's probably on the way out in the next year or so. Don't know how old Cochin is, but I guess he's only probably got a couple left. I don't know who else is gone. And the rest of them are all, Dubs has got 4 or 5 years left. So I can't imagine they won't be there again, thereabouts next year. So I'm getting some, I'll tell you what, I'm getting sick of Richmond fans though. But
open that up.
That's one thing we didn't miss. That's one thing we didn't miss. This weekend is the Swan Street celebrations and all the carry on from Richmond fans out and about, but I guess they deserve it.
It's probably
time for someone else.
It was eerily quiet here because I know, but like,
can't do anything.
Even like, I don't know, even I just thought people would have done, to be honest. If people,
they had drones.
Well, the NRL grand final, I don't know if you heard it from where you are, Swanee, but I live across the road from Amy Park, and every time we scored, they set fireworks off. And in the beginning, we didn't realise what it was the first couple of times because we were on the scoreboard early. I was like, oh my God, is that thunder? Like, I didn't realise the weather was so bad. And then we heard it again a couple of seconds after they scored or converted, and I was like, this is awesome. It made it really special because although we obviously couldn't be there, that's their home and that's what would normally happen if they did score. It was really cool. And then obviously a massive fireworks show happened when they won the premiership.
Yeah, it was good entertainment. Phil Gould commentating. God,
he's a dead set moron, isn't he? I was going to the commentary, but
yeah.
Did he play Penrith or coach Penrith? That's the vibe I'm getting. Is it,
yeah,
right.
I think he put together this list, and if I'm completely wrong, that's only because I've skimmed.
Could you imagine if Eddie did that when Collingwood played in the granny?
Well, that's what I kept on thinking.
He would be hung, drawn, and quartered. Or anyway, if Koshy did that, or any big name. But you know what? Well, it is what it is. They Storm won, so. They got to stick it up his ass, and that was all there is to it.
Added
to the enjoyment of watching it. Anyway, which is good. All right, so we've got lots of listener questions from James, and I'll give that one up. From Timmy, when's Dane's hypotheticals coming back?
Oh, well, I guess it's sports running out, so we can do one in the next couple of weeks if you want. I'm happy to do whenever you want.
Well, they're better face to face. So when do you know, Sam? When are we actually allowed in the same room again?
Yeah.
Well, I'm allowed 2 adults to my house, aren't I? So are you guys adults?
Yeah. But they have to be from the same house.
Yeah. Sorry. Same.
I don't know.
Same mum, different dad.
Is that going to change on the 8th?
Quite possibly.
Hopefully.
What about if is it family? Because what about if I'm a brother from another mother?
Yeah.
And you're a sister from another mister.
Yeah, this is, you know, they can't discriminate. What if Ralph is your mistress? I mean, who are they to say that you guys aren't dating? I could say,
exactly.
You know, Ralph's coming over because he's my boyfriend and you're coming over because you're my housemate's boyfriend. Like, who are they to say? Like, you haven't come out about it publicly because you've got a girlfriend, but, you know, they don't know.
Can you go to an office, though? No, no, no. This is probably a conversation for off the podcast when we're not recording.
Mm.
It's probably a conversation.
Do you reckon we could get Dan Andrews on the podcast? What do you reckon? Do you reckon he'd come on?
If we edited nothing out, we wouldn't have a podcast.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Absolutely.
From Tisgaris.
Okay. So to answer that question, when we get back together, we'll do it. Yeah. We'll try and get a guest in who's not afraid to answer those questions, and we'll do it with them.
Yes.
Yeah, otherwise, it'll be us three.
Question for all you guys, what's your go-to drink when you're in for a big one?
I'm sure I've said this before on here, but it's usually a beer during the day, wine at dinner, and vodka throughout the night with, obviously, and the odd shot or two of tequila. I hate the way tequila tastes, but love what it does to me. So that's pretty much mine.
Sam?
If I'm out at a bar, margaritas and then gin and tonics, but if I'm at someone's house, I can't be fucked making margaritas, so... I had a massive session on the CC and dry the other night, and then gin and tonics later on. Yeah, I don't know.
Bogan.
I didn't realize I had nearly. We bought a 10 case, and I just kept going back, and then I realized I was reaching to the edge of the box, and I was like, "Oh, I think I've drunk them all."
Is CC and dry a Bogan drink, or is it? So I like them too, but it seems very.
I think it's a little bit more classy than Bundy.
Okay, that might be what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, I think so.
That's less potential there.
Mm. What are you drinking?
Rough. Grange.
Grange. That's not a session drink. If it is, well, drop one round my place.
From Scotty. Dane, is Dusty still breathing?
Yeah, so they had their BNF last night. Now he's free. So I think they'll enjoy themselves tonight from what I've seen and heard. I've had a couple of misses. Spoke to him, FaceTimed him after the game Saturday night, but then I got a couple of phone calls early, a couple of mornings ago, but with the staffers, but when I was asleep, it was like I was long gone. So, I'm one of those people. If I know my mates are out and off and having a good time, I'm not answering when I'm dead set sober. I couldn't think of anything worse.
Exactly.
Because they carry on, you can't understand a word they're fucking saying. I'm like, mate. Oh, yes, you're having a good time. I'm not there. I'm just jealous. I don't want to talk to you. No doubt I'll get some phone calls tonight, but and this is another thing. Who doesn't sleep with their phone on Do Not Disturb? Yeah. Well, I always see it in the movies and that, like your phone vibrates. Why does anyone, unless you're like a emergency worker or, you know, you're actually waiting for a call. Well, my phone goes on Do Not Disturb and I can't hear it. Why people have their phone on loud or vibrate when they go to sleep baffles me. Like, do you really need it? You really that attached to your phone that if it goes off at 3 a.m. you need to bounce up and have a look at it? So I think they're going to enjoy themselves over the next few days, I think. And does anyone know when our borders go off? I wouldn't mind.
Well, they can come back in they can come back in
I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about us.
Unsure. It hasn't
I'm gonna go.
You would know, Sam.
Going to go up in a pig carcass or something like that in the back of a truck.
Absolutely. They won't have a clue. Up.
Like Dumb and Dumber, come out the back of a rhino's arsehole or something like that. Ace Ventura, I mean. Just come out the back of a rhino's gnaw, dirty balloon knot.
Absolutely.
What's it going with the border team? You would know.
Well, I've only been paying attention to Perth borders, and their premier has said that there needs to be zero cases for 28 days before he lifts
Good luck.
Border. So yeah. My niece that was born at the beginning of the year, I'll probably go over there for her 18th birthday at this stage, I reckon.
There's
no chance.
Taking Swanee's point, if you enter yourself in the Perth Cup or something, racehorses can go over.
Okay, well, maybe I'll go inside a horse.
Give that a go. this leads Swanee to from T1MBO. Swanee, how hard is it to back up after winning a grand final and having to attend the media, et cetera, the next day?
Well, it's tough. Did I not tell that story last time about our granny on that podcast? Where about how we're all...
Give us a 30-second version.
Oh, no, just because we had the draw. We were all flying out on the Tuesday, so we all had to do our signatures and stuff, like all the memorabilia and stuff, blokes like vomiting and, like, the ladies and guys were actually trying to sign out, like, making us, like, grabbing our hands and forcibly making a sign because everyone's fucking had enough and no one had slept. So that was a disaster. So you don't want that memorabilia. You've got proper, authentic, horrible signatures from everyone that had no interest in doing it. But, yeah, it is tough. But knowing them, they would have relaxed a bit for a little bit up there knowing that how much work they would have to do. And again, because they had their exit meetings Monday and the BNF Monday night, now they're free. So now they can do as they please. So no more media commitments. So they'll most footy clubs and players are pretty good now at like just holding off for a couple of days and getting through all the shit they have to. And now they're free to do as they please, where 10 years ago we were just a bunch of morons who just fucking roared all the way through. Because we were leaving on the Tuesday, so we had no option.
Yeah. From Dylan, we're free. What's the first thing everyone's going to do with their freedom?
Yeah, good question. We didn't really talk about it, did we? Have you guys?
I'm not free yet because I'm going to have this surgery on Thursday. So I reckon I'll be coherent by Saturday afternoon. So I might go out for some beers somewhere along Swan Street maybe. When's the Albion opening game?
Good question.
Oh, mate. Fucking who knows?
Personal interest.
Not anytime soon. Not,
what about tattoo joint?
Yep, that's opening. I messaged my business partner just to see when, but it should be open tomorrow. When is it? When? Tomorrow, I would imagine. Yeah. Renegade After Society, okay. And Grantham Street. What are you doing, Ralph? Go to the races?
I want to take the family to a restaurant. Silly.
Are you booked?
Yeah, yes. And
where obviously, are you going?
Catch up with friends. Bit of Vietnamese, local bit.
Oh, lovely. What am I doing? I've got a bit on. So it's a good week to do it. Thursday night, tomorrow night, nothing. Thursday night out for dinner with another couple. Friday night, going to mum and dad, like going to their house.
Yeah, awesome.
Saturday's derby day, so I'll probably pick a couple of people that I can stand for 7-8 hours. And
speaking of which, did you take my short-term investment advice?
Yes, we did. We did. I backed it last. It's last gold star, so I was going to back it anyway. But I took it for the derby.
Lovely. So yeah. Cherry Tortoni was $13, and now it's favourite. Yeah. We're back.
Then cup. I'll do something. We're going to the Osborne for Oaks Day. Run Simon today, so there'll be a few of us going down to Osborne for Oaks, and then and Stakes Day will do something. Then I'll be fucked for a week. But it's nice to get out again, isn't it? And do something. Weird thing is, I haven't worn jeans or, like, not that I wear nice shoes, I just wear Vans, but, like, I haven't worn any of that shit since I was probably at the Super Bowl. So I'm going to be interesting to see how my weight is, whether I fit into them or I don't, or they're too big, too small.
My poor son, who had been in school for 6 months, said that he goes a double short improve. And unlike me, it's only because he's grown taller, not larger.
I'm looking forward to having a little weekend away too, because I moved back from Sydney and then we went into lockdown, so I feel like I've been cooped up in my place.
Definitely. So
a little weekend away nice.
Yeah, after the night I think we're going to go somewhere, but hopefully our borders open in New South Wales or something, and it'll be a mass exodus up to Byron Bay or to Sydney or something like that, which
absolutely.
I guess we'll be a part of it. Fingers crossed that can open sometime soon.
From Batchy, is Dusty's most recent effort the best grand final performance we've ever seen? Since Simon Black.
Abla kicked 9 and losing most on a bad effort, but probably because they didn't really need him against Adelaide, against GWS, they won by 100. The first one against Adelaide, you could argue that Basha Hawley was just as good as Dustin, but I think this one is the one where I don't know if he was best on in all the other two. I'm not sure, like actual votes, but I think this one's a clear cut. There's not a person that could argue that he wasn't the best player on the ground and the most influential. They only won by a couple of 3 or 4 goals. He kicked 4 of their 12. They were down at half time. So yeah, I absolutely think this is his greatest performance in a granny for sure.
And as you said, I mean, I've been a footy nut since I was a kid. I just like comparing champions to their current era rather than to other champions, because it doesn't make any sense. I mean, KB or Michael Long, they dominated their grand finals. As you said, Gary Ablett, I mean, all you can do is dominate your own era. Yeah.
Well, that's why it's the GOAT, but it's spelled GOTE, greatest of the era. Greatest of the era. So, probably, that's what I think so, yeah.
From Joel, we'll finish on this. Can Dane make up some completely useless facts that sound interesting but can be false?
If anyone can.
Is it a fact what you were saying about the smoke alarms for people who missed it?
Is it my smoke alarm was out of battery, but it was still beeping. So how does that happen?
Unsure.
Conspiracy. Got me perplexed.
Very good. Have you had a joke to finish with, Dane?
No, brain's only just going to stand up.
I've got a joke.
You got a joke?
Yeah, but before I do the joke, I was going through the locations of people that listen to our show, and fuck, they listen to us far and wide. I can't really be sure why, but I just wanted to round out the top 10 and say hello to everyone out there.
Where?
10th most listened to is Indonesia. Hello, that might be due to Dane's work over there in the field of AFL.
Bali Geckos. Shout out to the Bali Geckos over there.
Yeah. Number nine is Vietnam. Hello to everyone out in Vietnam. Good to speak. Never been there,
but I'll go there if they need me.
If they want you. Number eight is Germany. Okay, I don't speak German.
Danke.
But there you go. Danke. Thank you. Danke. Number seven is Ireland. They are big drinkers over there. They get on well with you down at the Albion, I believe. Canada, which is not a bad place.
Yeah, nice.
They would have been mortified by your accent last week.
Yeah.
This is interesting, I think. Top five is rounded out by Singapore. Hello, over there in Singapore. Have you been to Singapore much, Dane, on your tours?
Oh, I have. I've been there a couple of times, yep. Yeah, beautiful part of the world.
Yep.
It's a good expensive. You're racing people over there.
Oh, well, yeah,
there are.
Maybe they come from you.
Expensive, but yeah.
Number four is New Zealand. Hello across the Dutch. Thanks for listening. Number three is the UK. Number two, not surprisingly, United States. And number one, obviously, Australia. So hello. Obviously, there's over 50 pages of countries that listen to us. So hello to everyone out there. But my joke, Dane, you're gonna love it. I think it's great. What starts with P and ends in orn?
Ends in what? Hawthorn.
Starts with P and ends in orn.
What?
What starts with P and ends in orn?
Well, I don't know.
You can't think of a word in the English language that starts with P and ends in orn.
Well, I thought the peppercorn.
Ralph. What did you say, Ralph?
I said porn.
Yeah, it's popcorn, you pervert.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.